Welcome to the Sydney Property Muppets Podcast. My name is Kurt Lawther. I'm the real estate agent, and with me forever is...
Chris Clark, the buyer's agent.
Oh, Chris, you're looking smick, mate, as always, except for that left eye.
I did actually forget we didn't actually mention the last episode either, so...
Chris doesn't know how to play basketball.
Correct. Talking about basketball, all things balls, all things eggs, I don't know how to...
Round shame, let's go straight into it. What came first, the chicken or the egg?
I actually don't know. I think there is actually an answer.
I think the egg came first.
Okay.
And you can have my reasoning at the end of the episode.
And why are we talking about chicken and egg then?
Talking about the chicken and the egg, because we're talking about buying and selling property, and what comes first. Is it getting the number sorted, as in coming to an agreement on the numbers, and then getting the contract sorted, or are we getting the contract and all the strata or building and pest, and then we get the number sorted?
You're doing that negotiation piece of a deal.
That negotiation piece.
Are we getting the contract in order, or are we getting a number done? That's what today's episode's all about, talking about effectively the scenario of, or the situation. Choosing a conveyance or solicitor, and do's and don'ts, and where the importance lies. But
now, I was just going to say, if you flick back to one of our past episodes in the past year, you would have heard me mention as a sales agent that the number is the very last thing you basically want to focus. During the negotiation, you start to work out that you're in the right ballpark because you're roughly discussed with the guide price, you roughly know that it's right.
Yeah.
And if you're going down to negotiations, generally you are in the right ballpark. The agent's not. If you're well off, the agent's just going to be like,
there's no point continuing forward,
However, if you're a conveyancer and only earning $1,500 to $2,500 on the deal, you don't want to start working on that contract, putting hours and hours and hours and time and effort into it.
Yep.
Only
and
for the
your
best,
name and your liability and your insurance associated to it.
Only for that to get to the very end point. And the negotiation doesn't work out on price.
And that's on both sides, right? You've got a conveyancer solicitor who's on the vendor side reviewing, got the contract, reviewing any request of change coming from potential buyer solicitors. And on the other side, you have the same person on the other side reviewing the contract and going, and some of them do whatever price, $1,500, $2,000, $3,000, whatever it's going to be. Some of them offer up to one or two or three reviews. But even still, you can chew through those relatively fast. So I think long story short is you and I are on the same page here. You want to get the contract reviewed, accepted to any clause changes, any inclusions. Is it 5% deposit? Is it 10% prior to the meat of the negotiations getting done?
Yep.
All right. What are the things we're looking for? We're talking about finding this lawyer to help us. What other things do you think are important?
I think, in terms of whether you choose a solicitor or conveyancer, I would choose a conveyancer every day of the week.
Yep. Because?
Because a conveyancer only does property. Okay. However, I'm sure you've experienced this probably. I think you've actually had a story with...
Yeah, I had one recently where my client had a solicitor, so a lawyer who had other parts of their practices, in particular criminal law. That's all very well and good. When we're getting a contract reviewed, unfortunately, they were preparing to go to court the following day to defend their client, not our client, different individual.
You're a criminal, mate.
In criminal law matters, which meant they basically went MIA and said we won't be able to review the property contract for up to 72 hours, from 48 hours to 72 hours.
And we all know in New South Wales, Sydney real estate, is almost a almost deal.
So you want someone who's either specially focused on it, so conveyancer will be, as in that's all they'll do, or you want someone who they actually don't have, they could be a solicitor, but they don't have any other part of their practice.
Yep.
Both can be okay, but just making sure they're wholly and solely.
And then talking about specialising, this is a big one of mine, you do, for me personally, wherever you're buying, you want that conveyance to be, or solicitor, if you still want to choose them, specialised in that area.
Maybe for the rest of the episode, let's just call it conveyancer just to make it easy.
Easy
for us. Yeah, you want to be in the area. So what does that? What does in the area mean? Does that mean in Australia?
So for me, if you're buying in the Sydney market, even the greater regions, you want someone who's based there. So you potentially don't want a Central Coast lawyer or someone far south or an interstate.
Is that because the contracts are different?
So state-wise, contracts are different.
And state-wise, the contracts are different?
Yes.
Across different states, but yes. In the state,
generally contracts are...
Same, right? They are the same.
Yes.
Tricky here, but yeah. So the same contracts. So why do you want someone else? Why wouldn't you use someone from, you know, Wollongong as an example, still part of New South Wales, to not review the contract? Why do you want someone who's based in Sydney?
Because what we just discussed, the very first thing, is the pace at which things move.
Yep.
So in Wollongong or even on the Central Coast, a 66W, for example, which means there's no cooling off period, is kind of not needed. A lot of people put down an offer.
Almost unheard of.
Put the 0.25% and yep. Bob's your uncle and they can do everything. That's not how it really works in Sydney. Sometimes you can get away with it, but a lot of things are done quite quickly, especially once the market starts to heat up a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's a cooling market now. Probably about 20% of the deals I'm doing at the moment are requiring 66W. That still means 80% are. When a hot market, it's virtually zero.
And even in a cooler market, what you will find in Sydney is the agents are still going to propose an auction.
Yep.
So therefore, if it's within that first 4 to 5 weeks, you're still going to have to require to make sure you have a 66W. Whereas conveyancers that are not used to this may not understand why, and also may not give you the best advice, because they might be like, you don't need one, you're going for the 5-day cooling off period, and that could be the difference between
I've definitely had times where clients have used a conveyancer outside of Sydney, let's say, and they've had this request for a 66W to be provided with a contract, and they've almost scared the hell out of the buyer, basically saying it's not needed, this is ridiculous, not understanding that it's a complete norm. All right, other things. So it's really simple. You want the mobile phone number. Really sounds really simple and silly, but I've had times before where clients have used like a hotline. An organization that has a designated desk number. What happens there? They're not available on the weekends. That leads to the second point. You want someone who's 24/7. Now, that does not mean 1 a.m. they're ready, but you want someone who's going to care to work outside of the normal hours. So maybe a bit earlier in the day, a bit later in the day, as needed, even potentially on a Saturday.
Can I give a perfect example?
Don't give a perfect one. Give an absolute amazing
one. Amazing. So I know a buyer's agent one time that had teed up their client that they were going to try.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Chris was going to try and get his client a deal done, and there was an auction pending on the Wednesday, and he knew to tee up the conveyancer and his clients to be ready to try and get this deal done late on a Friday. Reason being, Chris was aware that the other parties involved were potentially not going to actually have their conveyancer or their legal party's numbers.
Yeah, cool.
And if they were able to put an attractive offer forward...
The magical Friday night deal.
The magical Friday night deal where the vendor's like, do you know what? Let's go for it.
Sign, seal, deliver, get it done.
And even if that agent or the agent decided to go back to the other parties, I'm imagining they wouldn't have been able to because...
They're all asleep.
Yep.
Yeah, it's true. Other parts to consider, so recommendations. So, getting introduced to someone, and that could be a real estate agent, could be a buyer's agent recommending you a conveyancer. There might be a friend, might be a family member who's used one. Again, still in the area, still ticking the other boxes, but I think that's important.
And I think a lot of people don't realise this. Ask why are they recommending it, because that person could have had, it could have been the most basic experience, like as in all the needles, a couple of things, and it was good for them. But you might be a different person that expects a different type of experience or the...
There's also times when people have recommended somebody. They're going, I use this person. And you ask them, were they very good? You're like, actually, no, not great. You're like, okay. And if you hadn't asked that fellow that question, they would have just got their details. Turnaround times, you're looking for somebody, you definitely come back to me and specialise. Maximum 24 hours in terms of any contract reviews and recommendations. Providing you like a 1 or 2 page summary, not 15 pages. But that turnaround time, having sort of 2 or 3 hours is ideal. Again, come back to the pace of the market.
Yeah. Keep in mind also, if the conveyancer does happen to have two people at the same time needing the contracts reviewed, it might take a little bit of time.
Yeah, of course, of course. But maybe it's not turnaround times of actually getting you that review, but turnaround times of starting, you know, getting their teeth sunk into it's probably more a fair expectation. Anything else from you?
I think it's probably best to leave it at that.
Okay. Now, beautiful.
Now, before we go into our questions, do we want to know the reason why?
Chicken egg. What was
chicken
the,
egg. Yeah. I think the egg came first.
Great.
Because the chicken may not have always been around, but other animals would have laid eggs.
Okay.
So just say, you know, this is the start of time, and the egg may have came out of animals here, but the chicken may not have come up to this point. So therefore, the egg is always here, where the chicken eventually became an animal. Okay. That's why I think egg came first.
Great.
Thank you.
Could ask many follow-up calls about questions, but I don't want to.
Okay.
It's on you this week.
Do you want to explain the game?
Yeah, I can do. So last week you might have listened, we had five suburbs I gave to you. I gave them one at a time. You had to put them in order of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I couldn't change the order.
And this week it's your turn on me, but I don't think we're doing suburbs.
We're not doing suburbs. We're doing your favourite activity.
Oh, okay. Go on.
First one is, where would you rank camping?
Four.
Okay, putting camping down as four.
Yeah, I'll write that down because otherwise I forget.
Bull running.
Three.
Three, okay. The Hawaiian triathlon with no training. Bearing in mind that 3.8k swim, 180k bike ride, and 42k run with no training.
I hate you. Five.
That's five?
It's only going to get worse, isn't it?
Okay. Eating chocolate.
What's the last one going to be? Angel, one.
One? And the other one is no sleep for 2 days.
Not that I want that, but it's at least better than the Hawaiian one. Actually, yeah, it's probably not too far off. I probably would have done camp. Camping would have definitely been up higher in the order.
Probably would have put bull running down there.
Bull running's fine. I'll be good for that. Why not?
I'm happy not to have a horn through my ribs.
Yeah, no. I think it didn't say horn through, it said bull running, so I could do that. Perfect. Anyway, do you?
I just hope you guys got a lot out of this episode, in particular about conveyances, solicitors, the chicken, the egg, what to look out for. And if someone is about to buy a property or about to sell a property, I think it's very useful to pass on this episode.
Beautiful. Now, thank you all for dropping by.